I am the best wrestler in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day because Paul Heyman saw something in me that nobody else wanted to admit. I've grabbed so many of Vincent K. McMahon's imaginary brass rings that it's finally dawned on me that they're just that. They're completely imaginary. The only thing that's real is me, and the fact that day in and day out, for almost 6 years, I have proved to everybody in the world that I am the best on this microphone, in that ring, even at commentary. Nobody can touch me.
In the world, here with a brand new episode of CMQ's Wrestling Reviews, right here on the Absolution Network. I am, of course, your best in the Jew in the world, CMQ. And on tonight's episode, episode 25, by the way, we have a special guest as we take a look at the most controversial pay-per-view of all times in Survivor Series 1997. Just remember, Vince didn't screw Brett. Brett screwed Brett. Like I said, I have a very special guest who knows something about screwing, and being that he's from Canada, he knows something about the area as well, considering he's from Montreal where this took place. That is, of course, the great one himself from the WrestleCast. Matty J is here with us tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Matty J. And my client, TWK, has declined to show up.
You're going to do T'd up like that?
No. I'm just putting him over like Brock Lesnar. Eat, sleep. Do something else, repeat.
I think with T-Dub, it's somewhere along the lines of eat, sleep, watch My Little Pony, repeat.
No. I'll do him justice. Eat, sleep, PS4, repeat. I actually got a PS4 yesterday.
Well, actually, considering his last donator, actually it's more along the line of eat, sleep, watch Total Divas, repeat.
There you go.
And Tita will kill me next Friday. Actually, no, I'll have to wait 2 Fridays, because I actually have to go to a play next Friday, so I'll escape his wrath for at least 2 weeks.
He's not liking it so far, if you haven't noticed. Yeah,
oh, shit!
Yeah.
Between us poking fun of that, and of course my apparent love of Kamen Rider Forza, because by the way, I did finish the series.
Yeah, I've been told you like, by the way, I've been told you like the ending.
I don't have a problem with it.
That's where we meet, that's not gonna work with me, buddy.
Well, it's a couple guys, it's like, really?
I'm joining the majority here, buddy.
I'm like, well, what do you expect to happen? Considering this series.
Was it dying a lot? At this point, we're just content in seeing that we're going to be content in seeing you know.
Oh, I'll accept that I'm that guy. Okay.
Well, dude, you're John Cena, Mark. You already are that guy.
I have acquired taste.
Acquired taste, my ass. Well, okay, that is an acquired taste, yeah. Not too many people acquire it, but there are people.
Someone said that it's very much like more of a Super Sentai than a Kamen Rider series, and you know what? I'll agree with that. It is, and maybe that's why I like it. But at the same point in time, I do like the main character. I think a lot of what runs the show isn't the main character. It's not supposed to be. It's the supporting cast and the story surrounding it. And Kentaro is, you know, he's the true heart. You know? It's not so much that he is corrupt. He's not corruptible because he is corrupted. This is not a Kamen Rider, and I don't have the time to get into a deep philosophical discussion.
Please don't.
because it's not going to go anywhere anyways. I'm sure you got enough of it with easy. By the way, how was Ranger Stop?
Fun! You know, I'd get into conversations about that stuff, but some of the stuff I'm not actually allowed to repeat in front of a microphone. Not recorded anyways. Yeah, that 18-plus panel, man, wow. Like, that alone is worth the
price of admission.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure you heard tons of fun stuff.
Oh, did I? Let's put it this way. I like Karen Ashley. After this, and I'll say this, anyone that was in that room will never look at Michael Capone the same way ever again.
Okay. Damn you. You just put that panel over perfectly.
What, have you been there?
No. Of course, I can have my own little Ranger things. I remember getting to sit next to Johnny Young Bosch and watch the debut at Metrocon of his movie. I'm trying to remember who it stars. It co-starred the guy who played the Quantum Ranger in Time Force.
He's going to kill me for this now.
I'll kill both of us because I can't remember the names. Of course, I'm horrible with names. But it was a very bloody, like, martial arts thriller where he and his wife get attacked by mercenaries from his past in his home. And it includes a head being chopped off.
Decapitation!
But anyways, trying to get back on topic, because that's what we're known for.
You're probably thinking of Dan Southworth.
That was it, yeah. Wikipedia?
Wiki. May not be accurate, but it still works.
Yep. That's what I always say. But like I said, tonight, so we are reviewing probably what is the most, not the most controversial Survivor Series, not just the most controversial WWE pay-per-view, probably one of the most controversial pay-per-views, period, for the reasons that everybody knows, because this is the historic Montreal Screwjob.
And that's just the first match. How about the main event, you know what I mean? You want to talk about a screwjob. Now, actually, I should say this right now. I have a particular history. Yes, I live in Ottawa, Ontario, or suburban Ottawa, Ontario. I did live in Montreal for 3 years, but during that time, 97, not into pro wrestling.
Wow.
No. I got into it in late 2000.
About a year after I got back into it, actually.
But, that's legit.
Well, I got back into it late
99.
Or actually more appropriate, more close to late middle 99. Mm. I got, August. So, That's very interesting. Well, what do you mean that was the first match? The screwjob happened.
That's the joke.
Oh, that's it.
Have you seen the wiki on the first match? I've seen the first match. After you see the first match, you pay $60. Well, I paid $60 for this. No, I $40 for that? That match sucked, and I don't even get to say, "Oh, you didn't know."
Oh. Oh, we'll get into that, shall we? That's the joke. You suck, McFain. So before we get into the review, let's go over a list of, you know, what we're talking about. So Survivor Series 1997 with the tagline "Gang Rules," sponsored by Milton Bradley, to be more specific, Milton Bradley's Karate Fighters, for I think this was the third time.
Yep.
Took place on November 9th, 1997, of an attendance of 20,593 at the Molson Center in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
All of them were pissed off at the end of the night.
Yep. Of course, your color commentator crew is Jerry Lawler, the King.
Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler.
Yep. Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's buckle our seatbelts and let's pray to God as we get into Survivor Series 1997.
Praying to God.
Rape me. Rape me, my friend. Rape me. Rape me again. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. I'm the only one. Hate me.
And let's get into it. We actually have no dark matches to sort of comment on.
You know, it's funny because they had the free-for-all, they were talking about all that type of stuff and everything else, but no matches.
No matches, no. So our first match, as Matty J alluded to, the thing about this pay-per-view is, it's actually funny, kind of like the 1990 Survivor Series, and of course several Survivor Series of the past, where pretty much almost most of every match was a 4-on-4 Survivor Series. Which, you know, it's actually very funny to think this was common and this was the norm of Survivor Series back in the day when we're of the modern time and we're used to only two Survivor Series matches during the pay-per-view.
But at the same time, this wasn't haphazard. Though today's, compared to 10 years ago, they weren't haphazardly put together. They fought, and a thought process and effort and writing got put into it. May not be better. Okay, it's not better than what we have here now, but fuck. Two with, like, more build-up, or four with, like, well, let's just put a bunch of tag teams together and see what happens.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there are pros and cons with it. Basically, Survivor Series became a way for factions and different storylines to collide. And in this case, WWE had tons of factions.
Oh, good lord! It's been said that Vince had a hatred for factions. No, he got burnt out.
Yep.
I mean, look at that, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of these are. I mean, we can see because you have the Nation of Domination. You have the Truth Commission, the Disciples of Apocalypse.
DX was just starting up.
Yeah.
You had
tons and tons of factions.
And then during the beginning of 98, you replaced DOA with Kai and Tai.
Yep. So, out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches, four of them are Survivor Series matches. And we'll start off with the first one. Yeah. I think that says it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, New Age Outlaws, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, the Godwins, Henry O, and Phineas I.
Godwin.
Yeah. Versus G.
Versus the Headbangers, Mosh and Thrash, which, you know, I actually missed out on watching that tag team when I came back, so it's always good to watch and see what they were about. And the new Blackjacks of Blackjack Windham and the man, it's a flying bull, Michael! It's a flying bull!
No. If you gotta do it, you gotta do it right. It's a flying bull, Michael! Oh, yeah, Michael! Oh, yeah, it's a flying bull!
He's twerking, Michael!
He's twerking!
Isn't it sad that it's an
electric razor. Michael, he has a beard.
Is it sad that he's twerking is like the commentator line of the year so far?
Yeah, it's JBL at this point. At this point, he's been having more zingers than Jerry Lawler's been paid to zing. So he's practically taking Jerry Lawler's job.
To be completely true, if this really set what this whole pay-per-view was going to feel like, awkward.
Very awkward. One thing we should note that if you watch it, you'll note that the ring announcer is not Howard Finkel or Tony Schimmel. It's a French dude. Okay, from Quebec, but you get the point.
Yeah, well, I've actually found that quite interesting, like the hometown crowd. But, yeah, I mean, just like the pins were always, you know.
There wasn't like a build-up or the crowd wasn't into it or something like
that. Yeah. Like, the first pin was an abdominal stretch pin.
It's one of those weird situations where the crowd was there for two things. Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. That's it.
And they were basically saying the entire night, get on with it.
Yeah. It's literally, it's there for one reason, that match.
To be fair, they were into two other matches.
I mean, when we get to, like, the co-main event, They got into it once.
And in the Canada versus USA match.
For obvious reasons.
Yes. But, of course, it was interesting to see the stage dive. I had never seen that. But, of course, the botch at the end of the match.
Oh, yeah.
There's a reason we say Billy Gunn's himself sometimes. He wasn't even fucking close.
No. Billy Gunn done pulled a Billy Gunn on himself.
If a roofer, to quote Lewis Black, if a roofer was off by that much while doing a roof, he'd still be doing tie.
Yep.
But your survivors, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn.
I'm sorry, I'm just thinking of the visual of Lewis Black telling that joke again. It's just
because it's Lewis Black and the joke is awesome.
It's Lewis Black and Lewis Black himself is awesome.
Yes. Our next match featured two factions that I never got to see, so it was somewhat interesting to see.
This was the Truth Commission with Callis before he became Cyrus Callis. Yeah, that's true. It's Cyrus from ECW. Talk to you, Cyrus. That guy. Jackal, Interrogator, Sniper, and Recon versus the Disciples
of Apocalypse, which features Crush, Chain, 8-Ball, and Skull. And you know, the funny thing about it is, we saw Crush before last week in our review of Survivor Series 1990.
Yep.
When he was a part of Demolition.
Yep.
Yep. You know who else was part of Demolition? That I got to see in Halloween Havoc 2000?
No.
Bryan Adams.
Oh, poor guy. Bryan.
Or was it, was it the other one? Well, one of the former members of Demolition eventually became part of Chronic.
Oh, yeah. You're probably thinking of Adams.
Yeah. Well, they both have Brian in their name.
Yeah. It's and they had a fucked up name. Move on.
And they had a fucked up match with Goldberg, too.
Yeah. Among so other the things.
The Truth Commission versus Disciple of Apocalypse. This is a match.
Lasted just a tad under 10 minutes.
Yep.
It happened.
Holy shit. See, I'm looking up like the Truth Commission on the wiki.
Yeah.
And it's telling me that the interrogator, who's Robert Mallett, he was in Pacific Rim.
You're talking about the Kurgan.
Yes.
Yeah, the Truth Commission turned into the Oddities and Kurgan turned into that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, don't worry. A lot of us marked out when we first saw that. Wait, what? That's Kurgan. That's fucking Kurgan. In Pacific Rim.
Who? Wait a minute. Was he one of the bodyguards in the scene of protecting Ron Perlman?
I believe he was, yes.
Okay, because I'm trying to remember where he was. You know, because our good friend Harry.
Mm-hmm.
He actually, that was his trivia this past week. On your fan,
yeah, who has appeared? Who? Which former Attitude Era star appeared in Pacific Rim?
Yeah,
that's the one.
And then, what the interesting thing? Speaking of him, he got every pinfall for the Truth Commission with a sidewalk slam.
Pretty much.
Yep. So it was your pretty standard Survivor Series eliminations match. I mean, I think it had at least more story to it. And it was interesting to see.
And the story being up. Kurgan's a badass, or trying to be.
Yeah, and of course, again, just these basically, you know, in a way, I will say this. This pay-per-view did live up to its tagline of gang rules.
Yeah.
Because that's what all these matches, in a way, seemed like was it, these gangs, whether they were gangs that hadn't formed before or gangs that had just been thrown together. Mm. And it did seem like gang warfare throughout the evening. So as bad as it looked and really didn't like really much wrestling, maybe that was the point because of the tagline. But then again, that's probably me giving the WWE way too much credit.
Yeah, I chalked that up too.
Now, our next match is very interesting. We have Team Canada.
No Lance Storm.
No Lance Storm. No, thank God. And it, well, not thank God for no Lance Storm, but thank God to no Jim Duggan.
Yeah.
I'll take Lance Storm and Major Guns. I won't take Jim Duggan. But you had the British Bulldog, Jim, who's from England. Jim Neidhart, who's originally from
Nevada.
Doug Furness, who's originally from
Oklahoma.
Was it Oklahoma or was it Buffalo?
Doesn't matter. He ain't from Canada.
From the U.S. And the only real Canadian was
Owen.
Phil LaVar. So why the fuck is this Team Canada?
Because they want cheap heat. I don't know.
Yeah.
At this point, it was, yeah, they had Vader, Goldust, Marrow, and Blackman.
Mark, about the debut of Steve Blackman. With Sable, by the way.
Yes.
Yes, yes, and of course.
So the only good thing was you got to look at Sable for a few minutes.
Yeah. Well, I'll get into Mark maybe in a second. But you know what else I found interesting?
Mm.
That Team Canada, you know, they could have came out with O Canada. No, they come out with Bret Hart's theme.
Yep.
I don't know. Was that strange or is that just me?
Strange.
Okay. It's like, when did the Hart family basically become Canada? What the hell am I talking about? Of course they're Canada.
It's Vince McMahon.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck you, that's why.
But you know what? I actually did enjoy this match. I loved Vader. I thought Mark Merrill put a great effort in to it.
Yeah.
Goldust, storytelling of, again, I had not seen what led up to it, but I loved the storytelling of Goldust into it. So they did a good job, and of course, Bulldog did a good job wrestling. Furnace and LaFont all did a good job wrestling. You could tell Steve Blackman was very green.
Very.
Very, very green. In fact, he's the first one eliminated.
Like I said, very.
Yep. But overall, this was actually a very, I would dare say, the best match of the night. Especially considering how long it was.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else?
It was a match, dude. Usually this is the type of match that has me tuned out anyways.
Okay.
Every time.
Well, I guarantee you the next match wouldn't have you tuned out.
No.
You have Kane with Paul Bearer versus Mankind. Okay, let me take this back. Last match was not match of the night. This was fucking match of the night.
Yep. Well, it's Mick fucking Foley.
Of course it's Mick fucking Foley. Oh my god, all of the bumps. The choke slam from the ring to the Spanish announce table.
Now, before we should mention, this is before Hell in a Cell.
Yes, this was before that legendary Hell in a Cell. And of course, in that choke slamming through that table, Mick Foley took out the poor gobbledygooker.
Yep.
You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
For those who don't know, I'm talking about Hector Guerrero, who was the original gobbledygooker.
Yup.
On the Spanish announced. I won't let that go. I will not let that go. And right now, Matty J wants to kill me.
No, I'm just trying to push the memory of Hector Guerrero in a chicken suit out of my mind again.
You're welcome.
Hey, you're welcome for that memory of Mae Young, but never mind.
Fuck you.
Payback's a bitch, my friend.
T-Dub, the things I do for you, buddy.
Hey, don't worry about fucking T-Dub. He's got fucking Total Divas to worry about. He's got plenty of shit to worry about.
Well, I'm just saying, because Lord knows he enjoys that stuff. I mean, we know about all the Mae Young pictures he has on his wall. I mean, you've seen, right?
I don't want to think about it.
Anyway, but that spot, oh my god, all of the spots. The classic Mick Foley, you know, diving, elbow drop off the ring apron.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but this was just a brutal match. I find it funny, it took place all in red.
All in red.
I'm like,
yeah, they were pulling a Sin Cara before Sin Cara was cool.
You know, it was funny. It's like, is Sin Cara here?
this was literally a case of
like, because if Sin Cara here, that means Kalisto's here. That makes me happy. By the way, Kalisto may have had the move of the year on the last episode of NXT, if you haven't seen it.
Oh, good lord, yes, he had. Oh, he might have had, yeah.
I'm like, you know what it reminded me of? Rey Mysterio in 97 when he pulled off that springboard.
Oh, that springboard that turned into like a tornado DDT type thing?
Well, the springboard, no, where he gets thrown onto the rope and does a little flip off the rope and catches Eddie Guerrero into a DDT.
Yeah, okay, we're on the same page. Fuck yes.
Yes, that's what it reminded me of. Like, it was like that type of like, holy shit moment. It's mm-hmm. like, I've seen something amazing that I will remember for the rest of my life. And it furthers my whole thing, he's an X-Ray Mysterio deal. But that's a different era. than we're in. Mm-hmm. But I think we can agree, Kane and Mankind was match of the night. It was just an awesome back-and-forth match. And I think a great – it showed – I think what the best thing that was part of this match was how Mick Foley was allowed for Kane to really showcase his skills, even though technically we've seen his skills before as a dentist. And I broke Maddie.
Third time. No, I got nothing else to say about that, man. It happened.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to our next match.
It happened. Another Survivor Series match.
The Road Warriors, again, another team that we saw in the 1990 Survivor Series. Road Warrior Hawk and Animal with Ahmed Johnson and Ken Shamrock versus the Nation of Domination featuring The Rock, Farouk, Kamala Mustafa, and D'Lo Brown.
Mustafa,
excuse me. I just prefer to call him the Godfather.
Trey.
I mean, he could have a worse name.
Papa Shango.
Yep.
Yep. Same guy.
Yep. That's what we do on this podcast. We reference what everybody wins. I actually did enjoy this match. I'll be honest. You know, because you had a lot of different storylines going. I love that Ahmed gets Farouk. I find it, you know, I find it interesting that Hawk's the first one to go, literally basically two minutes into the match to a rock bottom. But like I said, I love that Ahmed. Why did I call him Ahmed? Now I'm gonna have the image of Ahmed Johnson going, "Silence!
I kill you!" But in like, "Silence! I kill you with a roof!" Roller, roller, "Silence! I kill you!" Oh! Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah! Oh god, I have this image of freaking Ahmed Johnson.
Did you just turn Ahmed Johnson
with Titus O'Neil?
You motherfucker! You go to a corner and think about what you just did!
Dude, it'd be hilarious! The promos alone would go viral!
Oh my god, there's this is why we can't have nice things.
Fuck no, this is a nice thing. It's a hilarious thing.
T-Dub, I take back anything I ever said about you.
Whoa. Not that bad. All I did was put Titus O'Neil and Ahmed Johnson in a tag team.
Oh god, the botch fest.
The promos would challenge Scott Steiner.
Why?
In hilarity.
Okay, now I really hate you.
What?
Because you know what you just made me think of?
What?
A setting up of a tag match, a promo of setting up a tag match between Ahmed Johnson and Titus Neo versus Scott Steiner and Sid Vicious.
Oh, no. Old school, that shit. Steiner Brothers.
But Rick could actually talk.
Sid Vicious is worse. You're right. But, dude, it's a case. It's another battle of the unintentionally hilarious.
You know what the sad part is? Ahmed's actually very good in this match.
Yeah, which is ironic. Considering.
Yeah. But, you know, I love that they continued the storyline of Ken Shamrock versus The Nation. Of course, Ken Shamrock's rivalry with The Rock, which I think is a very underrated rivalry.
Agreed.
I would love to see, you know, because they have the new show, Rivalry, I'd love to see him do one on The Rock versus Ken Sham. Ken. I'm about to call him Ken Anderson. Ken Shamrock.
Oh, God, the imagery now.
Stop, please. But Ken, you know, that rivalry was very good. And yeah, overall, this is a very good match. Actually, I think it was one of the longest matches, if not the longest match of the night.
If I look at the times, it was, yes.
Yep, it was.
Officially speaking, because the Michaels, Brett, they're only counted from bell to bell, so.
Yeah.
That went a little longer than that.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, it didn't feel like 20 minutes. You know, that's the thing. It's like, okay, the first match between the Outlaws and the Goodwins and the Headbangers and Blackjacks went 15 minutes. Felt like it went longer.
Yeah.
The Truth Commission and DOA felt like it went on for 30 minutes. It was only 9 minutes and 59 seconds, which is why we have a problem with it. Team Canada versus Team USA felt like it went 10 minutes longer than it really was.
Correct.
Because there was a lot of standing around. But here, this is the one Survivor Series match of the evening that didn't feel like it went. It felt shorter than it was. This felt like it was at tops 15 minutes, not the 20 minutes and 28 seconds that it was.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So for that reason, I like it. And again, it, unlike the other ones, it didn't feel like a giant clusterfuck. It did feel like there was a lot more put into it thought wise.
It kept it simple, stupid.
Yep. Speaking of keeping it simple, our next match is the shortest match of the fucking night and still one of the best.
Of course, it's Austin versus Hart.
Yeah, Steve Austin versus Owen Hart for the WWF Intercontinental Championship. Of course, Owen comes to the ring with the British Bulldog, Jim Neidhart, and of course, basically Team Canada.
Yeah.
Yep. I enjoyed it because it was Austin being fucking Austin.
Pretty much.
I mean, Austin is never going to have. You're never going to say, like, Austin wrestled a beautiful scientific match. It's Austin beat the fucking shit out of some people. And that's what makes it good.
Stunners. Stunners everywhere.
You get a stunner, and you get a stunner.
Everyone gets a stunner.
Stunner. And so, Steve Austin. Now, it would be soon after this he would have a rivalry with The Rock, wouldn't he?
I believe that would be the start of that, yes.
Yeah, because I've been trying to figure out exactly where his rivalry for the Intercontinental Championship happened. Was it a short rivalry?
This first part between Austin and Rock?
Yeah,
for the Intercontinental. I don't think it even counts as a rivalry, because they only think, I think, they had, like, one match, and then the rematch happened, and Austin was, like, fine, I ain't wrestling, so he dropped the title to Rock that night, and that's how we got DTA Rock, don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
So that first part didn't last long, and then, obviously, Austin won the Rumble, and that happened. Of course, Rock went after Triple H.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's what I was trying to figure out, is, like, where did it all fit? Because, again, I wasn't watching at this time. I was off watching Family Matters. Can I do that? Yes, I am a Steve Urkel fan.
I'm not going to blame you.
So, that leads us to our final match, and the match of the evening, in many ways.
Main event.
Yep. Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart for the WWF Championship, and of course, I don't think we are spoiling anything by sitting here and saying that basically Shawn Michaels defeats Bret Hart with the sharpshooter by controversial decision.
Yeah.
Yep.
The setup was they spent 20 minutes before the bell they got in the ring, all that stuff happened, and then they spent 20 minutes beating the fuck out of each other, and someone forgot to ring the bell or decided, hey, let's not ring the bell until, like, they're, okay, we're ready to go. So on Wiki, it has it as 12 minutes, 19 seconds.
But there's a good, like, at least...
There's a 20-minute chunk in there, just them beating the piss out of each other.
And then and Brett throwing him, like, oh, no, don't throw him into, like, please, Brett, look, don't throw him into the crowd. Because this really, in particular, started during the Road Warriors versus the Nation Domination match. I don't know if they were drunk. Well, it's Canadians. Of course they're drunk.
Oi!
But, come on. You know it's true.
Not all of us are fucking drunk.
It's how you stay warm in the winter.
It's called coats, parkas.
Yeah. But my point is, well, there probably were a lot of drunk Canadians. They, in particular, were really drunk. Like, it seemed like there was a bunch of them who were getting ready to rush the ring for whatever reason. I don't know if you saw that. In the background.
Yeah, like everyone started to rush the ring to make sure everybody's gotten the goddamn ring.
They had to put extra security over there. And then, of course, Bret Hart throws Michaels into there. It's like, oh, please don't do that. We need him alive.
Mm-hmm.
There was that. Of course, Shawn Michaels was in DX mode at this point. And was doing absolutely everything to piss off the crowd, including...
fucking the flag.
Yes.
There's no other way to do it. He pretty much put the flag down, wiped it with his bum, laid it down on the mat, crotch chopped it, and then proceeded to air fuck it.
Well, let's be specific. He like, toweled the flag between his ass.
Pretty much, yes.
Yep. And then he did all that. He also picked his nose with it.
Oh, no, that was something. Well, yeah, he did, that's right.
So, as you can see, Shawn Michaels did everything he could to endear himself to this crowd.
Yep.
How the fuck did Shawn Michaels get out of Canada?
By Vince McMahon putting the blame on himself, and pretty much Bret Hart spat on Vince McMahon.
Okay, better question then. How the fuck did Vince get out of Canada?
Still don't know to this day.
Well, anyway, okay, let's talk about the ending itself.
My friend, I think it's called security.
Yeah.
Lots and lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of security.
Or better known as the National Fucking Guard.
Or the Canadian version of it. RCMP,
yeah.
Air Force.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
But let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about the actual setup, because it really does come out of nowhere. There is no setup for him putting up
this is literally a case of, you know, they're just fighting and, oh, let's just do the spot then. And they kind of agreed.
Yeah.
The idea was they're going to do the spot and obviously Bret Hart was going to, you know.
Get to the ropes.
Yeah. Or, no, he was going to reverse it.
Or reverse it, yeah. And that's when Vince told Hebner to ring the bell. And, you know, and the thing I always find interesting for everybody who always blamed the Michaels is, if you look at Michael's face, he is just as shocked as Brett is, and is equally as pissed off because he grabs the title and then just, like, cuffs with Triple H.
He's pissed, and at the time, it's like, if you, he played that off perfectly, because if you were Shawn Michaels, if you didn't know what was going to happen, how would you react?
Yeah.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm. Caught me between shoes. I'm professional. You know what? I'm going to leave this fucking shit in. 'Cause a professional. This is my botch. Not my first botch, but one of many. But you have that. So that was interesting. And, of course, the funny thing is the pay-per-view is... what's funny is, like, I've seen so much of this segment because of documentaries and everything.
Yeah.
But a lot of what I've seen is stuff that happens after the pay-per-view goes off the air.
And then, of course, you see Bret Hart just smashing the shit out of monitors, tables, everything.
And doing WCW.
Yeah, doing the air stenciling WCW. Which, yeah. At this point, if you're Bret Hart...
I don't blame him.
If you're Bret Hart, you don't want to flip the bird. You want to flip the bird, but you want to keep some dignity. I don't blame him.
Yeah. I don't blame him. You know, the thing that's very interesting about this is that I don't blame Vince for doing what he did. I don't. I'm not going to sit here and say that Bret screwed himself. But at the same point in time... I don't know. I understand where Bret was coming from. He was this great champion who has carried the company. He wanted to go out holding the title. At the same point in time, you had seen before, even though Bret probably would have never done it, and Vince probably knew Bret would never done it, Vince couldn't take the chance that...
Because he saw Alundra Blaze or... What's her name in
Medusa?
Medusa dumped the women's title. So
he dumped the women's title, and it happened to other titles. He could not take the chance of having that happen to the WWE Championship. Now I'll sit here and say this: it's too bad what happened in ECW in 2000 didn't happen earlier. Because what ECW did and was willing to do was a much better example of how Vince should have handled it. As in we were willing to get the boys together and storm that frickin' building to get our title back.
Yeah.
So I don't blame Vince for doing it. It's a matter of what happened was a matter of circumstance. It was a circumstance of the time. I think that's part of the reason why they were able to forgive each other years down the road.
Yeah. Vince's still a dick, though.
Well, that's a gift.
How could it not be a dick move?
It's a dick move. Probably followed by a dick message.
Pretty much.
But it's an understandable dick move. It's a dick move. It's one of those few dick moves that Vince did that, looking back on it now, I think we can all sit here and say, like, we would have done the same thing.
Or found a different way to screw somebody over, yeah.
Yeah. Because it was... Oh, Bret not refusing to give up the title pretty much almost gave Vince absolutely no choice.
Yeah.
So, overall, what are your... let's go over favorite three moments of the pay-per-view.
There's not very many of them. There was Austin finally getting another stunner on Owen Hart for the Intercontinental title. The match itself that's part one. Kane, Mankind, that was a great match. Just for historical purposes, that match, that main event,
yeah.
And bad ending and all. If you want to call it a bad ending, of course.
Yeah. For me, there were a lot of good moments, a lot of good warm, fuzzy moments. I mean, Johnson's Pearl River plunge on Farouk was a good moment. Steve Austin's stunning of Owen finally was a good moment. But definitely the move of the night was Kane chokeslamming Mankind through the table.
Yeah.
That was a thing. There were a lot of good spots in that match. As far as top three favorite matches, Kane and Mankind are number one. Austin Owen Hart is number two. And I'll give it the third best match of the night to the Road Warriors and Nation of Domination, slightly beating out Shawn Michaels. The reason is that a lot of that match, because it happened to take place before the ring, feels like a big giant clusterfuck.
Mm.
Like they were just killing time. And that's my main problem with the match, is that it does feel like, okay, get on with the... When they finally start the bell, the voice that's in my head is JR going, "And whose bright idea was this?" So, yes, those are my three matches. So, what's your overall rating for this pay-per-view?
Man, sheesh. I'd say it's a solid 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. Solid 3 out of 5. There,
some of the matches were good. Some of them weren't so much. But it's understandable.
I think it's a perfect encapsulation of the changes that were happening in WWE and where WWE was at the time. Because you had a lot of crap matches. I mean, the difference between crap matches and good matches were split right down the middle. And you had a lot of controversy in this with the main event.
Of course.
And that, for nothing else, is worth paying your $9.99. Well, it's November, so it's free for this month.
Free!
Where's my check, Vince? but it's worth paying your $9.99 a month.
Your undisclosed amount of money for an undisclosed monthly sum.
Well, you're the poor bastard that has to get it only on one network.
Yeah, you know, I'm not complaining too much.
Have you gotten it yet, by the way?
Not at home, but I actually got to try it out on the tablet while I was in Florida, thanks to Easy.
Okay.
And I like it. I actually watched a good amount of World Class Championship Wrestling while down there. So yeah, I like it.
Oh yeah. And, of course, this week, the ECW week.
Oh, good Lord, yes, that.
ECW. My favorite moment is they're talking about Taz and Sabu.
Yeah.
They brought Sabu back. Like, well, I fired him onto him, and there were a couple things that led to me rehiring him. One of them was that we set a fan on fire. And the look on Joey Styles' face, like, oh, my God. No, what? Why are we talking about that? Like, we didn't do it on purpose. We didn't. You know what would be a good idea? Let's set a fan on fire. Paul Heyman was godly.
He was. He was sticking it. He was sticking it to Joey, and Joey was like, "Why? Stop!"
By the way, apparently T-Dub sent in a question that he didn't answer, obviously, on air, but he was hoping that it got, because they apparently did like 30 extra minutes. I don't know if they'll ever show it.
Extra minutes, or I think it was yeah.
Yeah. So apparently the question he sent him was, "I have two Jewish friends who said, because you went bankrupt, you had to turn in your Jew card. Is this true?" And his two Jews he's talking about are me and Car Junkie.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who, you're the one accusing Paul Heyman of being less of a Jew?
He may have gotten it back just by that night alone.
Yeah.
Him calling out whoever dropped that, whatchamacallit, during the segment was awesome. Somebody dropped something. It's like, what are you, a child? Be professional. Like, you don't think I'm going to let you get away with that? Come on.
Someone drops a glass.
What? Someone dropped something in the background and he called them on it, basically.
Yep.
And of course, finally getting to see the rise and fall of ECW documentary.
I have the DVD. If there's anything you need to watch, that's one of them right there.
Yeah, well, they finally put it on the network. I love it.
Yeah.
I did not know it. By the way, like I said, I think we can all agree 3 out of 5 for Survivor Series 97. Mm-hmm. I don't want people to think we forgot about it. We kind of segued into this. I did not know that Kurt Angle was in ECW, or at least guest spotted one night. And for all the nights for him to do a guest spot on the night that they fucking crucify Sandman.
Timing! It's all about timing around here in professional goddamn wrestling.
Yeah. I find it interesting. That's the thing that went too far. I'm like, really? Okay, I guess it's Philly and it is a heavy Catholic. But really? That's the thing that went too far? Not the burning tables, not the Dudleys.
Yep. Not
the fucking hot Asian chick stripping on the roof. No, it's the crucifixion that went too fucking far.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have no place for religion in our extreme wrestling. So, but back to it, yeah, I think solid 3 out of 5 is a perfect encapsulation of Survivor Series 2007, of 1997. And I think we can all agree, if for nothing else, for historical purposes, it's worth watching.
It is,
because it makes it a perfect time capsule moment for WWE.
It's the before shot before everything started happening for WWE.
It was the before shot before it got sexy.
Very sexy.
Yeah. If WWE was an infomercial for a fat loss pill, 1997 would be the before picture. Survivor Series 1997 would be the before picture. And Hell in a Cell 98 would be the after. I was trying to figure out which one would be the after picture. So, that is it for this episode of CM2's Wrestling Reviews. Maddie, you want to let people know where they can find you?
RVTEntertainment.com. Of course, I host the WrestleCast every Sunday with D-Dub. This week's particular episode, we were just talking. I was back from Ranger Stop, so we had to catch up on a lot of news, including Great Khali finally getting the axe, though the contract did it for him. It ran out. The third segment was just me shooting the shit about other stuff, and of course, for at Ranger Stop, so I couldn't stop talking about that. And of course, Ranger Recap, we're on the last two episodes.
Really? To the last two episodes
last
of Super
episode
Mega Force?
Last episode of Super Mega Force, and I have found a way to watch the episodes at hand. Yeah.
Let me guess. Giant middle finger because none of the promised guest stars ever showed up.
So the very last episode. But I'm not going to... I'll leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone. I've said too much.
No, you're not. You just pretty much confirmed what everybody knew was going to happen when they did this series after watching Samurai.
Pretty much.
Yep.
They blew it on 20 goddamn minutes, but that's just the tip of the iceberg, anger-wise. Trust me.
See, actually, that's a perfect capitulation. You know, the Japanese, they have stamina, so they can go for 50 episodes.
Oh, boo. Okay, enough.
See, us dumb Americans, we have to blow it in 20 minutes.
Don't knock Power Rangers.
I'm not knocking Power Rangers, but it's a perfect encapsulation of the difference between the sexual proudness of a Japanese man and American man. I'm just saying. The joke's there to be made. And I broke Maddie for the fourth time.
Yeah. Every time there's a silence, it's that death glare going, fuck you.
You're looking at me like Bret Hart looked at Vince McMahon at this main event.
Goddamn loogie, my friend.
So, of course, by the way, if you have any I almost forgot.
Uh-oh.
I have to apologize to one particular person because I was about to go over where how you can contact the show, and we actually do have a comment to talk about. Someone actually sent in a comment. I apologize, folks. Just give me a moment to bring it up real quick. But timing. But how could I forget our good friend Dark Mortimer sent me a comment on my last episode?
Mm-hmm.
So, just to show you guys that I do read your comments and emails, let's go over the one comment I have from Dark Mortimer. A bit of advice, stay the bloody hell away from WCW 2000. Nothing good came from it, like the War Games Triple Cage 2000 match. Come to think of it, Rip, go torture Russo for me. Rip Van Winkle, will do, my lord. As for the 1990 Survivor Series, my very first memory of wrestling was the debut of The Undertaker, which is ironic when Vince introduced Bret to Taker backstage just 24 hours earlier that one of Bret's brothers passed away. I'm also sure it was Shane O'Mac as a referee, which I kind of forgot to mention. One of the referees looked like it was Shane.
It was.
Yep. Here's bones breaking. Rip, Russo's kneecaps have shattered. Good. As always, Dark Mortimer puts that one hell of a little comment. As I'm sure you know, Manny, because
he's a regular on the WrestleCast as well.
So, if you'd like to leave a comment like that, like Dark Mortimer did, there are several ways you can contact the show. One, you can email us at absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. That's absolutionnetwork132@gmail.com. You can also contact us on Stitcher, which you can find by going to www.stitcher.com and searching for the Absolution Network. And I really have to get on updating that page, so I apologize for that. And, of course, you can always leave a comment on our Facebook page, which you can find at www.facebook.com. Look for the Absolution Network and like us there. And, of course, you can always leave a comment on the post right here on the website at www.an.132productions.com. Of course, make sure you check out all the other 132 Productions content, which includes Tokyo SOS podcast at www.tokyosos.132productions.com and the Comic Book Crazy Podcasting Network, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com, the Shaft Plus podcast at www.shaftplus.com, and of course everything right here on the Absolution Network, including new stuff from Shin Tiger Curl as he loses his mind on the ending of Naruto. Yep.
That happened.
Yep. And, of course, I have some new stuff that I hope to debut soon, including a new comic book podcast with Edwin. Oh, we had some fun. considering when it happened, I'll tell you that story off air, Matty.
All right.
It's not a story that's appropriate for on air. And, of course, remember to check out all our friends. So that is it for this episode of CM Choose Wrestling Reviews. Next episode, we move up to 2002 as our look at the annual WWE Thanksgiving Classic takes a look at the night that the Elimination Chamber debuted.
You're in for a good night, buddy.
Oh, yes. So until next time, my wrestling fans, I want you to remember one goddamn thing about me. CM2. Cover your ears, Matty. I'm the best Jew in the world!
You're all that I have and you're all that I need. Each and every day I pray to get to know you. Please wanna be close to you. Yes, I'm so hungry. You're like water for my soul when it gets thirsty. Without you, there's no me or the air that I breathe. Sometimes the world is dark and I just can't see. With these demons around all around, bring me down to negativity. But I believe, yes, I believe, I said I believe. Stand on one's feet, one be brought down on one knee. I fight with all of my might to get these demons to flee. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Hashem's rays, fire blaze, burn bright in, I believe. Out of darkness comes light, twilight and to the heights. Crown lights burning up, out of to the twilight. So thank you to my God, now I finally got it right. And I fight with all of my heart and all of my soul and all of my mind. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Time it starts a feeling. What's this feeling? My love will be falling and ceiling. I give myself to you from the essence of my being. And I sing to my God songs of love and healing. I want Mashiach now. Stripping away the legacy and reveal your soul. You gotta give yourself up and then you become whole. You're a slave to yourself and them don't even know. Them wanna live that fast life.